This morning, our scripture on this fourth Sunday of Advent is found in, again, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. We've been following the first chapter of Luke for this four-week sermon series on waiting for the love of God. And so we will conclude that series today, and we'll be reading from 57 to 64. And 67 to 70. I would encourage you to read the whole story, which is from verse 57 through 79, but we won't be going there today. Amen. This is what is written, and beginning at verse 57. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child. And they would have called him Zechariah after his father. But his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." And they said to her, "None of your relatives is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we enter into this last week of waiting for the love of God, our focus for today will be the birth of a promise. The birth of a promise. When a promise has been made, the question is always going to be when. When are you going to keep your promise? When are you going to make good on your word? When are you going to do what you said you were going to do? And with the question always comes the element of time. It's more than just when are you going to do it. The question is, how long is it going to take from the time you make the promise until we receive the promise? And the time that we have to wait can at times seem interminable. And yet the truth of the matter is that there is always and always will be a time of growth and development between the time the promise was fertilized until the time of the promise's birth. And yet, waiting for the love of God to be revealed and not seeing it is no reason to doubt that the promise is not being fulfilled. Sometimes what we're really waiting for is for the promise to take on a life of its own. Elizabeth and Zechariah have remained faithful as God's plans for their lives was working itself out. The child that they had prayed about for years, the source of their hopes and dreams, had now come to term. There was a great celebration at God's mercy in their lives, but now that time has come for them to remain faithful to God. It is the eighth day, and the time now to present the child for circumcision. The family plan is to name the child Zechariah after his father, but Elizabeth will not abandon the conditions of her blessing now. God has been faithful, and so must she. She says, "No, he is to be called John." And they turned to Zechariah. It's not uncommon for him to ignore what a woman is saying and turn to the man to see what he got to say. And they turned to Zechariah for a little family support. But Zechariah is now fully aware that God has been faithful and co-signs Elizabeth's decision to name the child John. And his decision of faith then led to an open and all-out praise of God as yet another fulfillment of the promise that he should not be able to speak again until the child was born was being lived out. And with his mouth and voice, he praises God in such a way that the crowd and his family, despite their protestations about the name of the child, are left in a state of reverent awe. Zechariah goes on to praise God, recalling the promises that God has made to the entire nation of Israel. He recalls the promises of deliverance, promises made as far back as Abraham, promises now being unveiled at the birth of his child. Zechariah praises Almighty God for the promises of yesterday, the fulfillment of the promises of the present day, and the hope of tomorrow, as he comes to understand what the birth of his son, John, means to the world. There is a lot going on in our story today. It's still about Zechariah and Elizabeth, and now John. But it points us toward Jesus and what his coming will ultimately mean for us all. But it is a story with so much more than that. It's a story that has the power to direct us when a promise is being born before our very eyes. Not everything that happens when a promise is being born is pretty, nor does it always point to what is the best in people, even when they're family. And perhaps what we might learn from the story is not new. Maybe what we can learn is something that we've known all the time, but it doesn't hurt to review life's lessons so that we might continue to have life and have it abundantly. You see, brothers and sisters, sometimes giving birth to a promise means living in faithfulness to God despite the protestations from others. By now, most of us are clear that opinions are like belly buttons. Everybody's got one. And sometimes those opinions can rise to the surface when talk of breaking a long-held family tradition is the issue. And we've probably known some persons and perhaps families that have long-held traditions that, if questioned, can lead to some major problems and rifts in relationships. I'm pretty sure that there's someone who has fallen into the trap of being expected to do something simply because it's a family tradition. People's families have gone to great lengths to suggest that all of their family go to the same college. Mothers have been at odds with daughters and suggesting that it's a family tradition that they be married in a specific church. Fathers and mothers alike have perhaps been in emotional wars with children because they chose to join a different college fraternity or sorority than their parents before them. And the Lord knows, even in the church, there are people who are quick to remind us that we've always done it that way before. It's a tradition. But if we're to learn anything from this message, it is that at times God invites us to break with tradition because God is planning something new. God invites us to take the road yet to be traveled so that God's glory can be revealed in the unveiling of the birth of a promise. God invites us to be open to the idea that not everything that God does and is doing is born of tradition. Sometimes God is giving birth to the beginning of a new tradition and a new hope. So sometimes giving birth to a promise means living in faithfulness to God, despite protestations from others. And it is in the midst of living in faithfulness to God that the birth of a promise given in faith by God begins to take shape. It's our faithfulness, our faithful obedience to God that brings forth the promises of God in tangible and realistic ways. You see, friends, God's promises don't happen overnight. At our best count, it has taken God 700 years to get to the fulfillment of the promise that God made to Ahaz. And how many saints and faithful believers lived and died without realizing the promise? Isn't that what the writer of Hebrews said when he talked about faith being the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen? Isn't that what the writer meant when they wrote about things similar to what Elizabeth and Mary were going through? Didn't they write in, and by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. And even as we live, the promise made to Abraham is still being fulfilled in our lifetime. The birth of a promise is just one more step in God's plan to complete our adoption as children of God. The birth of a promise is a process that invites us to continue to wait for the love of God so that we might inherit the fulfillment of God's promises made in Jesus Christ. The birth of a promise is just the beginning of opening the door to our salvation in Jesus Christ and nothing more. It's like when a young man intends to marry a woman, when he gives her a ring, it's not the wedding. It's not even the marriage, but it is the promise of a life together. It's not the fulfillment of it, but the hope that the promise it affords. Receiving an engagement ring with the intention of getting married is the birth of a promise. And in the same way, John's birth was not the event. It signaled the coming of an event. It was not the presence of our salvation, but it spoke of the promise of our coming salvation. It was, in fact, the birth of God's promise to make us children of the Most High God that opened the door to the fulfillment of the promise, but it didn't close the door. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, Pastor Ron, where does that leave us? Well, I'm glad you asked. That leaves us exactly where God intends to leave us. That leaves us where it left Elizabeth and Zechariah. It leaves us where it left Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Jacob. It leaves us in the same place that it left David. It leaves us living between the birth of the promise and the fulfillment of the promise. It leaves us in that enviable time and place where we, like Zechariah, can break out in praise of our God because of God's faithfulness. It leaves us in that place where we can shout out in praise of all that God has done and is doing for us. It leaves us in that place where we can celebrate and tell of God's faithfulness, where we can go tell it on the mountain and over the hills and everywhere about what God has done for us in our time of waiting. It leaves us in that place where we can wait on the Lord and, like Isaiah, renew our strength, mounting up on wings like eagles, confident that we can run and not get weary and walk and not faint. It leaves us in that time between the birth of the promise and the fulfillment of the promise where we can stop worrying about the things of the past and whether or not God is going to be faithful and stop focusing on the things of the future while worrying about whether or not God is going to be faithful. But like Zechariah, praise God in the here and now for God's faithfulness to the promises of the past, for the joy of the present, and celebrate while we wait for God to be faithful to the hope for our future. It leaves us where all of the saints of old have been and now are, where all of the saints of today are, and where all of the saints of the future will be until Christ comes again to redeem us and restore us to our future and final reality. It leaves us waiting on the love of God to take root in our hearts so that we can love others unconditionally until God's kingdom is present on earth and all the earth is giving praise to God as it is in heaven. It leaves us where our lives are continually lived in the presence of a living and merciful God who looks beyond our faults and sees our needs. It leaves us dwelling in the birth of the promise that the light that will take away our darkness and show us the way has come. Let's give praise to the God who has birthed the promise of hope for us that will take away our sins and redeem us, because our waiting is not yet over. And that is the word of God for the people of God.